Welcome back to the second hour of BetterLawns.com from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I've got a little bit of a cold today. Please excuse me. And it's just been a great morning. I know everybody was traumatized this weekend. So we're taking your phone calls, holding your hands. Your landscape will recover. And we will definitely see spring soon. So let's go to the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is bark. Nope, not the dog sound, but bark is the outermost layer of stems and roots of woody plants. Plants with bark include trees, woody vines, and shrubs. Bark refers to all the tissues outside the vascular cambium and is a non-technical term. It overlays the wood and consists of the inner bark and the outer bark. The inner bark, which is in older stems, is living tissue and includes the innermost layers. The outer bark on older stems includes the dead tissue on the surface of the stems. The outer bark on trees, which lies external to the living bark is also called the rhizodome. Products derived from bark include bark shingle siding, wall coverings, spices, and other flavorings. Tan bark for tannin, resin, latex, medicines, poisons, various hallucinogenic chemicals, and cork. Bark has been used to make cloth, canoes, and ropes, and used as a surface for paintings and map making. A number of plants are also grown for their attractive or interesting bark colorations and surface textures. Bark is present only on woody plants, herbaceous plants, and stems going of young plants, and stems of young plants lack bark. So bark tissue is made up by weight between 10 and 20% of woody vascular plants and consists of biopolymers, tannins, lignin, suberin, and polysaccharides. Up to 40% of the bark tissue is made of lignin, which forms an important part of a plant, providing structural support by cross-linking between different polysaccharides, such as cellulose. Bark can sustain damage from environmental factors such as frost crack and sun scald, as well as biological factors such as woodpeckers and boring beetle attacks. Male deer can cause extensive bark damage during the rutting season by rubbing their antlers against a tree to remove their velvet. Bark damage can have several detrimental effects on the plant. Bark serves as a physical barrier to disease pressure, especially from fungi, so its removal makes the plant more susceptible to disease. It's very important that when you have landscapers, they don't weed whack to remove the grass around a tree bark. You don't want them whacking in to the outer bark area. Not good. So let's go to Colette. Good morning, Colette. How can I help you?
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I told Lizzie I wanted to ask you about my avocado trees that all the leaves are totally black.
Yes.
My pineapple plants, I totally did not think about covering them. The kind of borderline gets some cover from a tree close by.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed yesterday they're looking a little yellow, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. And then the other one, my big bad, we covered my staghorn fern, which is huge. It's probably 4 feet across.
Wow.
And 4 feet high, maybe uh-huh. 5 feet.
Okay.
It was my mother-in-law's, and we figure it's probably 70 years old.
Wow.
I put 2 sheets around it after it rained, so they weren't wet.
Right.
But the outside leaves on the staghorn, a lot of them, it does have some green, but a lot of them are looking really sad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So, okay, let's start with the avocado. Depends on how cold it got and how long it got where you are in Winter Haven. So
we were 24 okay. degrees.
For how long?
I don't know, but it was freezing by midnight, and it was... we were told it was going to be probably 8 to 10 hours
yeah.
of freezing.
You might have lost it, but we're just going to have to wait and see if there's any new growth coming out, okay? Don't do anything
okay.
to it right now. Pineapple plants, they're going to recover too as well. Don't do anything to them. And your staghorn fern, just wait a couple of more weeks and then just cut off the brown. It should be just fine.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Colette, about our Staghorn firm. It's about the size of a dump truck. And so therefore, I had the wind blew off all of our covering, and we did have a heat lamp underneath ours because ours is living on a extra large dog crate because that's where it fell about, I don't know, five years ago. But yeah, I was wondering the same thing because my husband, that's his baby, and he's like, I can't believe this. He goes, the wind blew off everything, and will it survive? He goes, it's probably dead. And I'm like, no, possibly just wait. Let's see.
Yeah, I think it'll recover.
It has some little green new fronds on it that were, like, I guess, protected by the bigger ones around the outside that I noticed are still green.
Right.
So I figure it'll come back, but I think it's going to look kind of naked for a while.
It will, but inside those big, large leaves that encircle the Staghorn fern, we'll keep it warm. It'll be okay.
And I gave it a good drink, gave it lots of water.
Okay.
And what I usually do for it is give it banana peels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I was wondering if it's too soon to start trying to do that again.
No, because it's got to rot. So you can put the banana peels in it. It's going to rot. It'll be fine. Thank you, Colette.
Okay.
We're going to be right back with Dan McParland with the Orlando Orchid Society. Big Valentine's Day event. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. After several years of cultivating rose plants in their backyard, Dan McParland and his wife discovered a passion for orchids. They had long admired these flowers during visits to plant sales and botanical gardens. Seeking a tropical plant with a broad spectrum of colors to enjoy indoors rather than relying solely on cut flowers, they found orchids to be the optimum choice for their preferences. Please welcome Dan McParland to our studio. Thank you, Dan, for coming in this morning. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much, Teresa, for having us and for providing all the information to listeners.
Well, this is a great event. I love this because it is just the perfect, perfect Valentine's Day gift. It's an event that you can go to with your loved one. You can go with your family. And so I can't wait to talk to you about it. So this month, especially with Romance and Flowers, what is happening next weekend?
Well, next week, we are having our 27th annual Greater Orlando Orchid Show and Sale. And it's really, like you said, a perfect way to celebrate the Valentine's weekend, with Saturday being Valentine itself. And there's so many different varieties, colors, sizes of these stunning orchids. And it really can be a wonderful choice and a wonderful way to bring your sweetheart, friend, mom, bring her down this weekend so that they can even select their own if they wish.
I think that's a great idea. Which one do you want, honey? I always like that question. And so what is this year's theme for the Orchid Show?
This year is Hearts in Bloom. Of course, we keep a Valentine's Day theme. And so there's going to be, we're going to have it decorated up for Valentine's Day. It is a family-friendly event. And, we're going to have activities for the kids. Bring your friends. There are going to be, literally thousands of orchids to choose from that are going to be available. And, the nice thing about coming out is that, you can, unlike cut flowers, which will die very quickly, or chocolates that are going to just add calories.
Exactly.
This is something that's, who that listens to the show does love plants. And the orchid will give you, depending on which one, they can give you a month or so worth of blooms. And then if you just take a little bit of care for them, guess what happens next Valentine's Day? You're going to see those blooms again.
Exactly. And they're really easy. I know people tell us all the time, I killed my orchid. I don't think necessarily they did. I think they threw it away too soon. And so how do you take care of an orchid? What kind of care does it need?
Well, and as you said, so many people have said, oh, it's done. They throw it out. No. I had started growing roses, which, believe, that's a full-time chore. And that was a nice relief for us for orchids. And one of the first things I was told is, like, they live on neglect. And the biggest problem, I think, that people do is they overwater them. And when, especially the ones that are sitting in moss, they just sit in that moss, and the roots, which is their livelihood, they rot away.
And those containers don't have holes in them, drainage holes.
Oh, my goodness, yes. If you do not have drainage holes, you definitely have, you know, you're just asking for problems. But like I said, the main thing, when it's done, you can, once it's all brown, you know, kind of like what we're talking about with our plants outside after this freeze.
Sure.
Once that stem, that spike is brown, go ahead and give it a cut. The other thing is, don't put them in too bright sunlight. Some of them, and when you go to the vendors, you know, everyone will be able to tell you, some of them prefer a little more light, some like mostly, if not all, filtered light. So really, that's your two biggest things, is overwatering and probably too much light.
Too much love. Yeah, that's the problem right there. So what are your favorite orchids?
Well, we have two of my favorites, are both my wife and I. We like the Cattleyas. And for those that aren't really familiar with, if you remember back in the, 50s to the 70s, all the girls wanted an orchid on prom day. And that was pretty much a Cattleya. So they are a smaller plant. They go more horizontally than going straight up. Again, hundreds of colors, and they have been hybridized like crazy. So there is quite a bit of choice. Again, these guys do well thriving on neglect. You don't put them... Now, the other thing is, you know, when you do have the orchids, you do not put them in your typical potting soil. You're going to put them in either in sphagnum moss or a bark type, where it's not going to be apt to have all of the diseases, fungus, and what have you.
Right, because their roots like the air.
Yes, they love to be crowded, but they also love the air at the same time, yes. So I would say Cattleyas, that's also a wonderful... My other one, it takes a little more care. It's called a Vanda.
Yes.
If you see them, they're usually hanging. They'll have the kind of the spiky top where they have, you know, leaves coming off either on the right end, on the right end, on the left, and they will have these long roots, and the roots just drag. And they require a little more light, but you really need to keep those, because they aren't in any kind of medium whatsoever. You need to give them a light misting more often.
There you go. The Vandas, they're deep, dark purple freckles, purple freckles. I love them. And so...
So
who is sponsoring the show and sale?
Well, it is sponsored by the Greater Orlando Orchid Society. We are a group of folks that, well, love orchids. And we meet once a month, and we have, like, mini orchid shows, and we usually have guests that come in and tell us. This is our big event. You know, it's a little bit of a fundraiser, but for us, it's also about just getting out the word of how wonderful orchids are. And sharing that love of the orchids with them.
Exactly. Now, you say it's a little bit of a fundraiser, but the cost, you can't beat the cost of the tickets. So how much are they, and can they get them at the door?
Just get them at the door. We'll have friendly people at the door, and it's just $3 per person, but it is also going to be free to any children, as well as any healthcare workers or first responders. Just, we don't need IDs and stuff like that. Just let us know. A lot of times we do have people here from the nearby hospital, so when they walk in scrubs, we know.
There you go. Exactly.
Come on in free. Yep.
And a quick question: how would you like paying? So would you rather them have cash, or are y'all going to have be able to take credit cards or debit cards or whatnot?
We only have the ability to take cash, because this is really, you know, we don't sell orchids per se. Mm-hmm. All we do is we'll have a membership once a year. But so if you can bring cash, if you forget your cash, well, you can go in and maybe we'll can We'll still make sure that you were able to get in.
That's great. Thank you so much, Ed. So tell us what we're going to see. What are people going to be able to do when they get to the Orchid Show?
Well, when they get to the Orchid Show, which is going to be at the Orlando Garden Club, a lovely, lovely building that's been there for quite a while, and we're going to have 13 vendors with a really wide variety of orchid types, whether there be the Vandas, like I talked about, or the Cattleyas, the Phalaenopsis, which are the ones that so many times you see even at checkout counters. But these are going to be, of course, better quality ones. But and again, multiples of colors. Oh, and then for the kids, so that the kids aren't completely bored, we're going to have a little scavenger hunt. And if you're able to figure out all of our little scavenger hunts, we even have some wonderful coloring books for them. So, you know, it's going to be kid-friendly. But the other thing is, besides the fact that we are going to have so many vendors and so many plants, we're going to have a lot of knowledgeable people. You can talk. The people that are our vendors love orchids, and they love plants. So they're more than willing to talk to you about them.
That is so true, and they'll share their experience and their knowledge. So what are the days and times for the show next weekend?
Next weekend, it is Friday through Sunday, so that's the 13th, 14th, and 15th. So
what hours?
And the hours on Friday and Saturday is going to be 9 to 5. And on Sunday, we will be open again on Sunday, but that time only from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And where is the location again?
The location is going to be at the Orlando Garden Club at 710 East Rollins Street, Orlando. It's in the Lock Haven Park, you know, kind of like behind the Orlando Science Center.
Wonderful. So, Dan, go ahead.
Just look for some yellow signs that'll be out there.
Okay, super. So now, if somebody would like to join your society,
how would they join your society?
They would join, and we are on Facebook, Instagram, and it is the Greater Orlando Orchid Society. And just put that in, you'll find us, like I said, Facebook, Instagram. We also have a rather small website, again, Greater Orlando Orchid Society. And we meet on the third Tuesday of the month at 6:30. We do a little socializing, a potluck dinner, and talk about orchids and their care and frustrations.
There you go. And they could even just come and to one meeting to see if they like it.
Oh, absolutely. Come on by. You know, we will feed you. We will make sure that you are entertained and informed. It's a nice socializing event. Before we even bought any of our own orchids, we went to a meeting. So we knew pitfalls of buying orchids. So
there you go.
And some pratfalls too, maybe. Okay.
So that's great, Dan. So again, Hearts in Bloom, 27th Annual Orchid Show next weekend, and it's a sale. Lots of orchids on sale. What is the address to go to?
It is 710 East Rollins Street in Orlando, and there's plenty of free park. There is free parking there, and I think you enter the parking off of Camden Street. But, yeah, you should be able to Google that and find that in your maps.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'll remind everybody next week, Dan. I'll know there's going to be a.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. There's going to be some people who didn't get a Valentine's Day gift, and he can rush them right over there, and they can pick it out that day.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people who tend to not forget, but kind of wait to the last minute. Well, this is an excellent opportunity for those who like to wait to the last minute to just be like, oh, hey, guess what we're going to go look at? And then, you know, be like, you know, here's your gift.
There you go. Yes. Thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it so much. And I will be posting that on our Facebook page. So you'll have plenty to do that. So that is great. Thank you to Dan McParland, the Greater Orlando Orchid Society. I've been to their meetings. They're a lot of fun. Great way to meet people and learn about growing orchids. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you missed any of the first hour, or with the interview, you can go ahead and go to betterlawns.com. You can listen to the show. You can go to iHeart and hear the podcast. I do apologize for my voice. I'm not sore. My throat's not sore. I just have a chest cold. But I didn't want to take off because I wanted, I mean, this week was so hard. I did not want to do a best of.
Yes, it was a lot of craziness out here in the weather. So definitely appreciate you, you know, struggling through this, but you are just powering through and doing it.
We are good. And so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Want to mention this. We are in a very severe drought for Florida, the Southeast. Florida, throughout the entire state, is in a severe drought. That doesn't mean you need to water more. You can only water once a week. And that's all we need to be watering anyway. So as long as you have an irrigation system, you can water one time a week and your landscape's going to be just fine. Just because we're in a drought doesn't mean you need to water more. But we also need to be very aware with these dead plants. If we're throwing them out, you want to make sure that they are dead. Don't be throwing them out into conservation areas or onto compost piles or into the woods, because they may not be dead, and if they're invasive or they could become invasive, they may pick up with the springtime warm weather and, you know, infiltrate the conservation area. So we don't want to do that. But also, too, there is a burn ban for Seminole and Orange County, and pretty much throughout the state, there's a burn ban going on right now. So you're not allowed to be burning anything. No permits are being given. So be very aware of your cigarettes and everything, because we are going to have probably a pretty chaotic wildfire season this year. Okay, so let's go to Jerry. Jerry, I thought about you all week long, and I'm so glad you called. How did you do?
Oh, it's pretty bad, but I got some things surviving. I had a lot of tropicals out, so I'm very problematic with that. But I'm just waiting to see what happens. I'm following your advice on the detecting of the cambium and so forth.
Yes.
And like to ask you about the key lime. I had planted a lot of little seedlings of key lime, about a foot high.
Uh-huh.
Will they survive?
I think they will. I mean, what do they look like right now? What kind of pot are they in? How much soil?
Oh, they're in good soil on there, in the ground, in the ground.
Oh, they're in the ground outside.
Yeah.
That's a little iffy. Mm-hmm. That's a little iffy.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll just keep an eye on them then. I had a few left in the pots yet, and I had them covered, so I'll compare that.
Okay.
And the other thing, you discussed seeds that you can freeze them in that. Is there certain situations where you can freeze seeds? Or?
Well, you want to make sure that they're dry. So you can freeze them, but they've got to be dry. But you don't even need to freeze them. This is Florida. So you can just put them in a white envelope and put them in a dry, cool closet. Or into your an area of your refrigerator that doesn't get too cold. As long as they stay nice and cool, they're not going to sprout or germinate.
Okay. And the other question is the seeds, like the citrus. I save the seeds out of my best citrus because I get some good seedlings that way.
Okay.
Because, you know, the greening is really devastating.
Right.
And you only can grow sort of the acid-fruiting trees. But can you... Because those seem to be very sensitive because they're tropical. They're sensitive to drying out. And when the seed dries out, then it won't germinate.
Right.
I have experience.
But you don't want to overwater either. Just want to keep it moist. But I will tell you that the key limes, they don't really grow in your area. So you're going to see those freeze back every year.
Okay, that's good. Because I had a giant one growing about 10 feet high, and it was loaded about 50 on it.
Wonderful.
And because I had good weather here, you know, for a decade.
That's it.
And I saved a lot of those seeds out of that one because it seemed to be better than the one that the neighbor had.
Okay. Know, well, so we're just going to hope and pray that we don't have another freeze for 10 to 20 years.
Yes, that's right. I hope so.
All right.
I wish they'd keep the trees. I think that's what hurt us the worst here because the trees and the lakes are all low, gone, and the trees are gone because of development.
Yes.
And
well, the development is happening because the trees died of citrus greening and canker. So it was kind of like the trees died, and so the land became valuable, and they had to sell it.
Yeah. So it made quite a change. So anyhow, thank you for the help and information, Teresa.
You're welcome.
So much.
Thank you for calling in, Jerry. I'm glad you did. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. So let's go to our text messages. JAC, he says, my cherry tomato plants, gone. They turned brown, gone. Cut off at the ground or pull up and start over. I'd cut them off at the ground and see what happens, or, you know, leave a few inches. Don't cut them off directly at the ground, but leave a little bit of a stem and see if they recover from that, JAC. Okay? Great question. Tony in Melbourne, she says, let's see here. Wondering what to do with our fire bushes that were 10 feet tall and now are all brown. My husband said they're still alive. Do we cut to the bottom or just trim now or wait? Also, all our fire spikes, leaves are all brown. Surprisingly, they have a few flowers, though. How do we trim them? They're also 8 feet high. Just leave them for a couple of weeks. Excuse me. Just leave them for a couple of weeks, Tony. Don't cut them right now. Okay? Next week, we'll be back on. We'll see what the weather's like, and we'll give you an update then. Also, so your husband doesn't know if the fire bushes are alive. I think they are. I think they came through okay. They just look really bad. He scraped the bark at the top of the bush, not the bottom near the tree. Well, when you're scraping that little bark area to see the cambium, if you don't see it green, then go down a few more inches down the branch and try it again. That's where you're going to know how much of it's left. But just wait, because we're still seeing damage from the fire. So Jay says, good morning, Teresa. Good morning. Apologize for the voice. I live in the Great White North of Tallahassee and have a question about when and how I should treat for chamber bitter. I have a mature centipede lawn. It's my yard's annual nemesis. It certainly is. You can use a pre-emergent, and there's a couple that are on the market. One is Surge, and then also, too, you can put down, let's see, Surge, and then there's another one here. Gallery 75 and Surge are pre-emergents to prevent chamber bitter. So use those. Chamber bitter is really prevalent in centipede lawns. So those are the two on the market that you can get, and they'll do the job. Okay. Yes, I do need a little bit of lemon juice. I'm going to take lemonade when I get home. Colette, thank you so much. We're going to be right back with the last segment. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. I'm really okay, guys. Just my voice sounds a little bit lost there. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. So we had a text message in the first hour I didn't get to. Good morning. What do we do with pentas that didn't make it in the frost? Do we pull them out or cut them to ground level so the roots stay in the ground? Is it okay to plant new ones now? This is dramatic. She lost so many plants. Thank you. Well, thank you for listening. I don't know where you are, so I'm just going to give you a general. Your pentas, you can cut off down to the ground. They may recover, but it just may be a little bit quicker just to plant new ones. And so I would try both. I'd plant some new ones and see how fast your other pentas recover. They should recover for you. So that'll be good. 1-888-455-2966. Cherry tomatoes, what?
Yes, did we answer JAC's cherry tomatoes? Okay, sorry, I did. About that. I was on the phone with some of our listeners.
No. I did answer the cherry tomato seeds. He can cut them off and let them resprout again. So
okay, thank you.
That's fine. He can do that. So recommendations for your palm trees. If you had a palm tree that froze, here's what you need to do. So at the very top of the palm tree is called the apical tip. That's where the spears, the new fronds, emerge. Okay. And you want to make sure that that didn't rot. It's very likely to susceptibility to rot. Gently pull on it. If you pull it up and it's green and sturdy, it's going to survive. If it's brown and mushy, remove and clean out that hollow, okay? And just pray that it's going to survive. You want to apply a liquid copper fungicide. Follow the label instructions, and you can use it twice at 10-day intervals. Spray that apical bud area into the hollow and spray around the base of the palm. Then what you want to do is wait a month before pruning those fronds off. They need to be completely brown. You do not take off green fronds. I saw so many cabbage palms that have been pruned incorrectly. Just a shame. Then you also can apply an antitranspiration, which was dirty word of the day last week, antitranspiration spray to the foliage to reduce water loss. Wilt Stop by Bonide is a great one. It forms a transparent film on the plant's foliage, preventing moisture loss and minimizing water during these periods of stress. But do not fertilize your palms until you see new growth. All right, so that's how you take care of your palms. Right now, this weekend, just pay attention to the Super Bowl. Don't look at your landscape. Nothing to do out there right now.
Yeah, don't feel like you're alone, because if you just drive down the road and you just take a look to the left and to the right, you're going to see
that you're not alone. I took lots of photographs. So the zoysia grass and the centipede grass on the golf courses, that's all going to recover. Your grass is going to recover normally. There's nothing you need to do to it unless you normally get fungus. But here's the thing. Why do you get fungus? Because Florida has the perfect trifecta. We have the plants that are susceptible to fungus. We have the humidity. We have the disease. So if we're going to get it, it's Florida's where we're going to get it. And so if you have fungus, you might be overwatering or watering at the wrong time of the day. This is important. You don't want your plants being wet longer than 5 hours. So starting your irrigation system at 2 and 3 in the morning is going to be more likely to lead to disease and fungal issues. Okay, so you want to start watering 5, 6 a.m. Then you have till 10 a.m. to complete all your irrigation. One time a week, 2 times a week in the summer. If you're watering more than that, and I had a question on the Facebook, they are watering 3 times a week, their citrus tree, 3 times a week. When is that ever good? That's never good.
Would it be good if it was like a brand new, like you had just planted it?
But then you would do the cycle of once a day for the first week, once every 2 days, the second week. You know, you can do that. That's fine. But even with these temperatures, you know, it's better to water longer and less often than to water short irrigation timers. You know, just doing it for 10 minutes every day. That's not good. You're going to promote a short root system that way. So you want to water longer. And you could even in the wintertime get away with watering once every 2 weeks. You do not need to have high water bills. There's no need for it.
Okay.
So you want to make sure about that. If you'd like to have more information, I'm going to get well. I'm going to lead garden tours again. And you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. We are going on the most marvelous revolutionary garden tour, where we're going to visit sites and locations and gardens that are 250 years old.
Yes, and these are also gardens that this is the only time that they are going to be open for the visitation.
Right, and especially during this year, the sesquicentennial for the 250th birthday of the United States is going to be great. Then we're going to the Best of English Gardens and the Chelsea Flower Show. Both of these tours, I have very few openings left, so they're coming in. And so we've just got a few spots left. Then we're going to the Newport Flower Show in Rhode Island and Martha's Vineyard and Boston. And then we are going to the Buffalo, New York, which is one of my favorite must on your bouquet list. That's B-U-C-K-E-T, pronounced bouquet list for your garden tours. You've got to go see that. And Canada, Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. Then we're going to France, the Brandywine Valley, and then New Orleans in October, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes, definitely. And the thing is that she does have wait lists. To get the cost of that and to sign up for any wait list or even to sign up, where would they go again?
artandbloomgardentours.com.
And you will need a passport for some of these.
Yes, so, you'll need a passport for the English and, of course, the Canadian one and the French one.
Yes, definitely.
So that will be. We're going to have such a great time. Small groups. We don't take large groups. And we just have wonderful, delicious meals, lots of fun. So also, too, if you want my newsletter, it's coming out this weekend. You can go to she-consulting.com and sign up, or just send me an email and I'll sign you up. I just need your name and your zip code. And that way I know what kind of location you're at. And so I don't, and your email, too as well.
Yes.
But I don't sell or spam or anything like that. So
no, definitely not. And if you're over in the Polk County, Lakeland area, if you guys are interested in the vegetable gardening for the spring, they have Peterson's Nursery has got a lecture starting at 9:30 this morning. They do require the BYOC, which means bring your own chair, show up early, and you can. I'm excited about this, and we want to wish Howie a happy birthday. He has a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Howie.
Yes. And Teresa will be there next month. That's April 14th.
No, March 14th.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wow. Man, I just totally just dumped March. Okay.
No, we're gonna take the year slowly. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously, so March 14th, Teresa will be there. She'll be talking about Color Your World. Now that time for the March 14th with Teresa Watkins won't be until 11:30, where normally all of their lectures start at 9:30, but it's still BYOC. So
yeah, come
bring
and
your
see
chair.
Me.
Yeah.
I would love that. Yes. And they have such great plants. Hate to say it, but I'm going to have to buy more plants.
Ah, yes.
You know, it'll be sad. But also to the Orchid Show, Hearts in Bloom. The 29th annual Orchid Show and Sale. It's going to be February 13th through the 15th. And that is going to be Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It is going to be great for children. Children are free. Healthcare workers and first responders are free. But $3 weekend every day. So what a great deal. That will be a great Valentine's Day.
I'm telling you, because there's a lot of people out there, men and women, who end up waiting to the last minute. And this is one of those great times of the last minute.
And the weather will be beautiful. Yes, so it'll be really good.
Yeah, not only will you be able to go to see this show, but you will also be able to purchase some orchids.
Yes.
And they take cash, and it's $3 to enter. So, that's an amazing deal.
Orlando Garden Club, 710 East Rollins Street. But orchids are very easy to grow, and I just think people care for them and they water them too much, and so but you'll get all the information you need when you go there. You can visit all the people. I love the Vandas. I love the orchids that smell like chocolate.
What? Wait.
Chocolate. They
huh?
do.
No,
don't
ma'am.
Tell Tony. We have yes, chocolate.
You bet they have orchids that smell like chocolate?
Yes, they do.
Oh, they do. My cheese and crackers.
Isn't Mother Nature wonderful?
She's pretty on point, let me tell you. So, and we want to thank Dana Venrick for coming on today.
Wonderful. He's just the fountain of information.
Yes.
And it can help you with anything that you need in your landscape. But I love that he has wonderful fruit trees. He has native trees. He has beautiful canopy trees. Mm-hmm. And then also the mulch and the fertilizers you need. He will
and
develop
soil testing.
Soil testing.
Yes.
Very important. Everybody
Definitely.
Should get a soil test. This is if you haven't started your garden this year. Go ahead and get a soil test.
Yes, and then go to a quality green specialist over there in DeLand.
On 333 Michigan Street, East Michigan Street, and he will be able to help you out. So we love doing all that. Please, when you go out and buy products, thank our sponsors for sponsoring Better Lawns and Gardens. That's Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, makers of Mosquito Bits and Dunks, the best mosquito. You will never have mosquitoes in your plants. Or your house, or around your house, when you use their products, they're all safe, organic. Use it best to use with children and pets.
And turkeys.
Doesn't hurt and turkeys doesn't hurt wildlife at all.
Yes,
it's safe for the environment because it's an organic product.
Yes,
and so it's a great product. Then we have Black Cow. Soil needs Black Cow.
Yes,
and so this is the time of the year to do that too as well. Thank you so much, Lizzie. Thank you for helping me get through today.
Yes, thank you to our
listeners. I apologize for my voice.
No worries, but our listeners were awesome. Not only did they give you some type of an earthy version of help for your
They did. I've got all this treatment that I'm going to do.
We have the best listeners.
We do. Thank you so much. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you miss any of the show, you can go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.